So emptiness is among the three natures. It's only this is the only the truly established natures among the three natures. And the statement in Maitreya, differentiation of the middle and the extreme. The ultimate is single, as well as it's the commentary by Vasubandhu. The ultimate truth is to be known as the single, thoroughly established natures. So this is, I think, single here means referring to the emptiness among the three natures, only thoroughly established natures. Now, and the explanation that an ultimate truth is without production and disintegrations, which occurs in Maitreya ornament of the Great Vehicle Sutra on the occasion of studying that ultimate truth has five characteristics. So this is little bit complicated, so you try to read first. The first, the word it says very, very short. The ultimate is not existent and not non-existent, nor the same, nor the another, nor the produced or disintegrating, and also not purified, yet becoming purified. It's not also becoming purified. So this is very short words stated in that Maitreya Buddha's ornament of the Great Vehicle Sutras. The first here, the ultimate is not existent in the sense of apprehended object, in apprehending objects. This is a commentary. Apprehending subject being different substantial entities. The first ultimate not existent means here in the sense of apprehended object and apprehending subject being different substantial entities. So that's why not exist in this way. And non-existent. And second, not existent and non-existent. You mean me means not non-existent. Not non-existent means as mere negation of difference of entity and subject and object. Not non-existent means it exists as a negation of difference of the entity and subject and object. So emptiness, so here is emptiness that is referring to the emptiness of dualistic, is a dualistic subject and object, like form and consciousness, apprehending form is, those two are one entity, is emptiness, empty of dualistic, emptiness of substantially separate of the subject and object, right? So is so that means first non-exist means it not exists as it appears to the thought or the ordinary mind that subject and object are substantially separate. And second, it's not a non-existence, it exists truly as an absence of difference of entity in the subject and object. Right? First, exist, non-exist, and second, not non-exist. And not the same means that is not exactly the same. And exactly the same means it's not the oneness of the other power nature or the basis, and not another entity from the phenomena that are empty. And the third characteristic here is not produced or disintegrating. So emptiness of form is not produced and disintegrating. When thoroughly afflicted phenomena and pure phenomena are produced and cease, and hence, here's thoroughly afflicted phenomena. So that is kuni nyomo means there's two. One, there's kuni nyomo, thoroughly afflicted. Is something that is causing sentient beings to cycle existence, and pure phenomena that is as a something that is a cause of freeing sentient beings from the cycle existence. So thoroughly afflicted phenomena and pure phenomena are produced and cease hence. So emptiness of other so emptiness of sentient beings' mind is not emptiness of sentient being minds is not really disintegrating by the cause and the condition. Emptiness of the noble being's mind is not increasing. So that was not because it's not really when the sentient ordinary beings, when they go on the path to achieve the noble path, so here is not diminished the emptiness of the sentient being minds, and emptiness of the sentient being's mind when they transform into noble being's mind, emptiness of the sentient being is not increasing, and also purified. So emptiness of the sentient being is not really when the mind is purifying. So emptiness of the mind, sentient being mind, is not purified because it's being naturally purified of the defilement from the start, and then you not yet becoming purified. Adventitious defilement. These are the characteristics of the ultimate. So first, we can have a confusion, and then we try to purify that confusion. So we have to have a confusion or the doubt on that. So, in the Maitreya Buddha's the scriptures is very, very short. That is, he says, not existent and not non-existence. This is one characteristic of the emptiness. So, now here, emptiness of this table is not existent, not exists as it appears to the ordinary mind. And how does the table appear to the ordinary mind? And always it appears as dualistic or something that is subject and object as a substantially separated. So that means emptiness is not as it appears. Emptiness is absence of that substantially separate of the object and object and object and subject and object, right? Non-existent means is not completely empty. It's truth. It exists as a truth. It exists as absence of substantially separate of subject and object, right? So one, two characteristic. And first is emptiness means emptiness that is not being emptiness of the table is not being apprehended by the ordinary mind or apprehended by the self-grasping phenomena. That means that, right? So emptiness is not apprehended or the observed or the realized by the self-grasping or ordinary mind that is dominated by the self-grasping phenomena. So second is not non-existent means. Now, when you empty the substantial separate of the object and the subject, you are not emptying everything. So emptiness still exists as a truth. As a truth, as an emptiness, absence of, difference of subject and object. Right? So, mine only point of views. The Maitreya Buddha describe with five characteristic on emptiness. First, emptiness means is not exist as it appears the ordinary mind, and also that also means emptiness is not the object of the self-grasping phenomena. The two, right? And here and the word it stated like is not non-existent. Not non-existent means, it exists. It exists as a truth. It exists as an absence of a substantial separate of the subject and object, right? And yumi me means, not exist and not non-exist. And the second characteristic, not the same. That not exactly the same as, not exactly the same. So this, I think, the Changzhi Monastery, followed the great master and his commentary. The teacher they says there is in Tibet, even the Tibetan words teshin is if this spelling is right, so teshin means exactly the same, and some says this is spelling has wrong, is mistaken, so we take one word and then teshin. And shame is not separate. Not separate, not the one. So almost the same. So my class teacher, he says, there's something mistaken on the spelling. So either way, this is the, when you describe or explain, this becomes the same. Here, not exactly the same means is emptiness is the very subtle nature of the other power natures, but not the same same as other power of nature or same to other power of nature. Not the same, not the oneness of the other power of nature. So, shami means here, not another entity from the phenomena that are empty. So not as it appears to the self-grasping the phenomena as a substantial separate, the same. And here, and the produce, not produce or disintegrating. Not produce and disintegrating. So why he said that emptiness is not produced and not disintegrating? They might have a kind of the doubt or the doubt or the confusion that when you meditate, when you go on the path, and if you are trying to, I would say, develop of the object. So actually, you are not really developing the object. You are developing or the progressing your the realization or the mind. So you are not really purifying the emptiness. So ordinary mind, when they focus on emptiness, you are purifying your mind, not you are purifying the emptiness. Because emptiness is naturally purified. There's nothing, to mix with defilement, right? Emptiness is the most subtle object. There's no further, you can get the discovery on emptiness. It's always the same emptiness that realized by the ordinary mind, as sentient being's mind, emptiness that is realized by the Buddha, omniscient mind, has no, difference. And there's no progressing. Emptiness is like a space, always the same, right? There's no produced and there's no disintegrating, because diminished and increasing. Because when you, when the ordinary mind or the sentient beings, someone who are on the path of accumulation, so when that path or the realizations focusing on emptiness and that gradually transforming into noble being's path, so you are not really diminishing the sentient being's mind. You are not diminishing the emptiness of the sentient being mind, right? So, and there's no diminishing the emptiness of sentient being minds. When the mind that transforms into the noble being's path of seeing, and so your emptiness of that mind is not increasing, right? Also, not also purified. That means it's because of being naturally purified of defilement from the start, and not yet becoming purified. Number tamam, number tangir, of advantageous of defilements. These are the characteristic of the ultimate. Yeah, sure.
Is it not the same? It's not the same as other power nature?
Not exactly the same as oneness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Mm-hmm. What with other power nature? A while ago you said not the same. You know, different from not the same.
Same entity, but not exactly the same. Like one to one.
And then you say something about other power nature. You said not the same. Do you remember that?
Not
power nature.
Other power nature.
Yeah.
Other power nature. It's not one. It's not one with power nature.
So, yeah. For example, emptiness, we are talking about emptiness, that is absence of duality of the table and the consciousness apprehending the table. So there is the emptiness, right? Now, the emptiness here is now emptiness of this table. This very emptiness is what is emptying, is emptying the duality of the subject and object based on the table, right? And now here, that emptiness, the first characteristic, not existent and not non-existent means, now that emptiness is not exist as it appears to the ordinary mind or the self-grasping and phenomena, right? So that is not existent. So not non-existent means the one characteristic, within the one characteristic. And not non-existent means, so it's not a completely empty, right? Not just non-existent. Emptiness is just absence of that duality of the subject and object. So that means it exists. It exists as an absence of, dualistic or absence of duality of the subject and object, right? And second, not the same means what is the emptiness that is, belong to, it possessed to the table, right? It's the very nature of the table. So, and then they might have a kind of someone have a doubt that when I said emptiness is the very nature of the table, so that means that kind of this the possible to someone think that when you say it's the very nature of the table, maybe oneness of the table. It's not the oneness of the table, right? Is now here not the another entity. And when you say this is not the oneness of the table, and what is that? Is that nature that things that appears to our ordinary mind? Ordinary mind, that means it's a non-existent imputational natures. Is a duality of the subject and object. Not another, not the oneness of the table, nor the another that is imputational nature. And what is that here? And the third characteristic, because it's not a oneness of the table, it's not the negation negation element, and because it has no kind of character or the production and disintegrating, right? So emptiness has no productions, no character of the production, no disintegrating. Emptiness, and why it's mentioned that emptiness of the table has not produced, not disintegrating. Because someone can believe or someone can think that when the ordinary mind that try to realize emptiness and that through the valid reason that once they realize the emptiness and there is a progressing, there is a development, there is something you are diminishing, there is something increasing. So you are really you can increase the realization, you can diminish the ignorance of the mind, but you are not really diminishing the emptiness of that the purest mind. You are not increasing the emptiness of the path of accumulation, path of seeing, right? So maybe it's possible some people can think that I'm pure. My realization emptiness is much getting clearer and clearer to me. That means I'm purifying my emptiness, right? So you have a feeling that you are trying to purify it on another thing. So something that is much, much getting clearer and clearer to you. So your mind is the same as before. Now the object that is affecting on you, or object that is you are seeing, is getting better and better. So Maitreya Buddha says, not emptiness, you are not increasing. Emptiness, you are not, there is no diminishing and there is no increasing.
Is there a difference between if I just ask the question, from my own school's point of view?
Sure, yeah.
And what's the Madhyamika point of view, if there's anyone that's different?
And these are the same. Same. Yeah. Completely same. So only there you can see the difference when you talk about the view, the emptiness itself. And then Madhyamika school says you are not completely emptying something. You have something left over that can affect you to increase or to develop the attachment and anger, because you are not being able to empty that you're supposed to empty, right? Because they are emptying uncommon existence of entity, right? So Madhyamika school says there's no existence from the basis side, from the object side, from the basis. Uncommonly existent or the common existence. So no produce and not produced and not disintegrating. And therefore there's no produced and not disintegrating and emptiness, and there's no purifying on emptiness. There is no going to be purified in emptiness. These are the characteristics of the ultimate. I can understand that when my sight, my eyesight is disintegrating, so I cannot say the object, things that I can see, is disintegrating. So actually, my sight is disintegrating. Okay. Sometimes now things are getting worse and worse because I cannot see.
You cannot see crows, right?
And in Vasubandhu, the cause does not exist by imputational character, the power character. Gundadisha. So, actors. So the Vasubandhu says emptiness does not exist by way of imputational characters. Because not this emptiness is a empty of the truly existent in imputational natures. So this is not imputational natures and not other power nature. Because it has no production. It's not produced by cosmic condition. So it's other power natures and does not exist by way of truly established natures, means is truly established nature. Right. I think it's very, because and I think mind only school and their way of describing on emptiness, they are really strongly believing that emptiness is the only one that is the truth, truly exist. And middle schools, everything is not truly existing, even the emptiness. Now here, mind only schools, persistently they're saying emptiness is the only one that truly exists, is the only one truth. So that kind of indicates they're also believing the basis, the other power natures that truly exist. Right. Because emptiness is the very nature of the other power natures. If the nature of the other power nature is truly existent, the basis, the characteristic that possess to the functional thing of the other power natures should be exist truly. Right? So it's like if someone's personality is truly, reliable, right? And his personality is truly reliable, that means a person who possesses that characteristic should be truly reliable.
Why don't we just use exist by way of everything does not exist?
Maybe at that time you being is not exist. I think there's something, there's a lot of fact, and because maybe it's not really, in the Sanskrit word, and there's more easier to expressing things. So when they translate in Tibetan, so it's like mathematically have to present things straight.
You focus on negation.
Yeah.
Okay, if you say does exist, it's not negation. But yeah. Not exist, it's a negation of not existence.
Yeah.
So still, right? Or emptiness is negation.
Maybe still, yeah.
It's not exist.
Not exist is a negation of not existence. Does exist, is it equal to does exist, is not negation.
The mic, one of the class teacher, he told me that in the Sanskrit words, actually, the language in Sanskrit is mathematical. So, when they express like tree, this is I'm trying to translate it literally. There says the feet drinker. So they kind of absorb the water from the feet, right? So this is feet drinker. So, and Dazu Kujim is like, when they say wearing the earth, things that wears our earth means the earth, things that wearing the ocean, that means referring to the earth. Pemenye means there says, the relatives of lotus that refer to the moon. Nimenyes, that is relatives of sun, that means there's a sunflower, right? So everything, the words are has a very expressing its definition, its meaning. So Tibetan translator, they couldn't find a more easier way of translating things. Also, the statement in Asanga is a companion with ascertainments. It is to be said that the reason that is mainly the other power natures that are the basis of imputational nature exists conventionally, or that they exist ultimately. This is the question, right? They are to be said. To exist conventionally. Gyunsin Kunzu do Yubin Juba Chan, Tian, but Yubin Juba Chan, Kunzu do Yubin Juba Chao. So, there's also a little bit the complex. When they the reason here in Tibetan was gyunsen, so that some most of the time it refers to the reason. And in this text, sometimes it's referred to the Junsen here is referring to the thought, or the thought, the something that is the create or the present by the thought in term. So that is also referring to the imputational nature. And so it is said to be that reason that is mainly other powered natures that are the basis of imputation of imputational natures. So there's the two Junsen can be referred to the things that they created or imputed by the conceptual consciousness, and also Junsen can be referred to the and the cause. So here, so what is Jeffrey Hopkins? And he said, there's mainly the other power nature that are the basis of imputation of imputational natures. Here referring to the functional thing, right? It exists conventionally that they exist ultimately. They are to be said to exist conventionally. So when you say that Junsen, if that is referring only to the reason, reason is imputational nature. And his commentary here, his note, so mainly the other power nature that are the basis of imputation of imputational nature. So that means here Junsen is not referring to the reason. So in my understanding, Junsen here is not referring to the reason, and it's referring to the cause. And Dhammakirti text, when they translate in Tibetan, Junsen and Junsen Chen, the two, right? Junsen and Junsen Chen, and Junsen is the cause, Junsen Chen means effect. Yeah, conventional exist or ultimately existence. Yeah, so they are to be said to exist conventionally. So this ascertainment, and Asanga's compendium ascertainment, so they talking about the cause is conventional existent or the ultimately existent, and said to be it exists conventionally. So this is one. Okay. And second here is, it is to be said that conceptual consciousness, so that is contaminated, okay, mind and mental factors exist conventionally, or that they exist ultimately. It is to be said that they exist conventionally. Now here, this understanding of conventionally means something that only exists in the face of thought in term. It's like conventionally is talking about the true truth, conventional existence and ultimate existence, right? So conventional consciousness, it's everything, the house, trees, even the functional things, like even the realization, the emptiness, part of seeing itself, is also exists conventionally. Because it's an object of expression and object of the term and thought, right? Is not really very object of the realization of emptiness, right? This is not the ultimate truth. Whatever the, whatever things that are not ultimate truth, things that are not emptiness, things that are not object of the realization of emptiness, as a conventional exist, right?
Vishnu, mm-hmm. but in this one, is it to be said that reason here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Jeffrey Hawkins put an A as a, as kind of his own explanation was a footnote.
Mm-hmm.
Then he comes back to the footnote. If you go to read the footnote, he's talking about two different commentaries that explaining that reason.
Mm-hmm.
Here, then he said, Abu Rodra Gelfo,
mm-hmm.
identify reason. As all basis of definition of imputational nature.
Mm-hmm. Other power natures.
That's including permanent phenomena.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is, yeah.
And then, Jamyang Damcho Gelfo, then, oh no, and then another one, that the dream of them, I didn't have a reason as the name and so forth, or face.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand the cause and the basis of definition.
So here, the Junzhen has many meaning, right? And locally, when we talk about the Junzhen, it's locally language. And locally, they understand always the reason. And now in Asanga text, even the Lama Tsongkhapa, you can see in the after these pages. So Lama Tsongkhapa also very clearly mentioned that Junzhen can be interpreted as other power natures. And Junzhen can be interpreted to the mere imputational nature that is imputed by as a thought. So I think this is okay. Here now, Lama Tsongkhapa says Junzhen here not only referring to the other power natures. Junzhen actually is kind of, it seems like a cause. So that means cause and something that, something that is coming out of the cause. The both are conventional exist because these are the object of the conventional consciousness, right? The cause, and now what is that really cause? And then it referred go to the, conceptual consciousness. So that is also, I thought that because in this Maitreya text, Junzhen, if you understand that is a cause and something that is caused by thought, the cause by thought also can be understood as a Junzhen, right? So, and that means in this understanding, in this sense, imputational nature is something that is caused by other power natures. And what is that understanding is term and thought is creating that imputational natures, right? So when you keep that understanding and then you go to the tongue blessing, the mantra, chunam tamji julishons, everything is caused by conditions. Every phenomena is caused by condition. So within that understanding, this everything phenomena that is caused by condition means, and you can see all the functional things are very obvious. This is caused by condition. And how do you understand that imputational nature is that caused by condition? So that means is the causing or the creating is a making existent by the term and thought.
And can people argue? Since all phenomena have
This is the argument, bit kind of happen by generations. Mm-hmm. And that generations, there's no problem with that term. So when the Buddha says, as imputation of energy is caused by term and thought, and disciple, they understand that it's created by the thought and term. There are, I mean, there's no argument. There's no doubt on that. He's speaking mistakenly, right? Now, in generation comes, so we see we are more focused on the term and the language or the word. And then you see, if you say imputation of nature is caused by term and thought, and then imputation becomes effect, is a functional thing, it has a production. So we are not really going into the meanings, right? So, yeah, so that is more kind of complicated. It's complex things disputing people. People like to dispute. Yeah. Right. So this is every phenomena is caused by conditions, and cause and condition knows by cause and condition that understood or realized by the Tathagata. And the cessation of that cause and conditions is mentioned or the taught by Gautama or the Buddha Shakyamuni. So this it's a meaning, literally meaning of that the mantra. Mayadama hita prambhava hita tikindanakadu. So in that sense, yeah, we can believe or accept even the imputation of nature is as caused by the condition, even caused by the term and thought. So, right. It's not really kind of like substantially causing. It's more like a creating, making existence. Right. So in this case, Junzen can be referred to the and the functional things and imputation natures. That means other power natures, the imputation natures. Both are, so when they ask the question raised like, is it conventionally or ultimately exist? So always conventionally exist. And the second here is goes to the real cause and the condition that is causing them to exist. Conceptual consciousness that is contaminated and mental factors exist conventionally or they exist ultimately. It is to be said that they exist conventionally. Even the cause, term and thought, conventional existence and something that is created with term and thought that is also conventional existence. And other power natures, the cause and effect, both are conventional existence, right? The answer dispelling those contradictions, dispelling the contradictions regarding the first three passages. I will explain how these statements do not contradict the ultimate existence of the other power natures. There are two ways of positing the phenomena as existing conventionally and existing ultimately. So now, Lama Tsongkhapa is trying to dispel the contradiction that so within the mind only system, other power natures are not the ultimate natures, right? Is in here and in this the passages. This is even the imputational natures and other power natures are conventional existence, right? And in the mind-only system, this is other power natures and thoroughly established natures are ultimately exist. Imputational nature is not ultimately existence, a conventional existence. Now, if the other power natures are ultimately existence, why is the passage or quotation, what do you call that? This statement saying that even the other power natures, like a thought and term, are not ultimately existence. It exists conventionally. So there is a two contradictions, right? You have to dispel that contradiction between other power natures is ultimately existent or conventional existence. If conventional existence is not ultimately existence, other power natures not ultimately existence, the mind-only system believe that within the three natures, other power natures and truly established nature are ultimately existent. Imputational nature is not ultimate existence. Right. Now here, Lama Tsongkhapa says, the first is to posit the existent that is posited through the force of convention as existent conventionally, and to posit existent that is not posited through the force of convention conventions, but exists by way of its own character. As ultimate existence. For instance, there are the many statements in sutra that such and such is by the force of worldly conventions and is not so ultimately. So, the first means is referring to the imputational nature, that is posited existent, that is posited through the force of conventions, as force of existing conventionally. So mere imputations, mere exist by the force of term and thought, is conventional existence. That is imputational nature, there's a conventional existence. Therefore, imputational nature is not ultimate existence. Now, the second here, something that is not mere imputed or mere created by the term and thought, something that exists by the cause and conditions, but something that is produced by cause and conditions. That is ultimate existence. Now, in these definitions, you can see the other power natures, even the term and thought, both are ultimate existence because it's not imputed by thought and term, rather it's produced by cause and condition. Now, definition here, now we have to, go for the definitions. Now, conventional existence. Gunzub Denpa said conventional truth, right? What is the definition of conventional truth? What is the definition of ultimate truth? And what is, truly existent? What is this complex is only in the mind only system. Middle school, there's not much kind of this kind of, the tangle. So where is a freeway, so everything is multi. So in this mind only system, because the scriptures, they and Maitreya Buddhist texts, sometimes they say other pronunciations are, conventional existence, not ultimately existence, right? And sometimes the throat, the definition of in the mind only system, this is ultimately existence. That the definition of ultimately existence is something that is truly existent. There is no difference, no different meaning between ultimately existent and truly existent, right? And this is ultimately existent and ultimate truth has a big difference, right? Ultimately existence, not necessarily to ultimate truth. Other power nations are ultimately existence, because it's not mere imputed by term and thought. Rather, it's produced by cause and condition, therefore it's ultimately existence, even though it is not ultimate truth, right? Now, so ultimately existence, if you have definition of ultimately existence, so what is the ultimate definition of ultimately existence? What is definition of conventional existence? Conventional existence and conventional truth, right? Ultimate existence and ultimate truth. So other power natures, the table is a table is ultimately existence, not ultimate truth. And table is not conventional existence, but is conventional truth. So this is my knowledge system, yeah. Yeah.
What's the definition of conventional truth?
Conventional truth and ultimate truth is the different, right? Conventional truth means object of conventional consciousness. Right, object of conventional consciousness. So, ultimate truth, object of ultimate consciousness. Ultimate consciousness referring to the realization of emptiness. Ultimate truth and ultimately existence. Conventional truth and conventionally existence. So and the table is not conventionally existence. Conventional existence means it's mere object of the mistaken thought, mere object of the term and thought is a conventionally exist. Something that is not produced by cause and conditions, right? So mind only system has this kind of problem, because therefore it's sutra unraveling the thought. So the many great masters, they tried to translate, they tried to, try to understand the meaning of that. So they interpret in different way, the many meanings. Some says, imputational natures and other power natures, conventional existence, because Maitreya Buddha says, and they says, well, that means imputational natures and other power natures are only exists, mere exists in the face of mistaken consciousness. So that means in reality, imputational natures, other power natures not exist. And what is exists is ultimate natures. And again, we just dig into that. What is ultimate nature? This is, and Chanamba says, oh, this is referring to the clear light. It's more talking about the Tantra. Right. And some says, oh, the Sutra Unraveling Thought actually mentioning that. Right. So other power natures and imputational natures not exist in reality. So therefore, Sutra Unraveling Thought is not definite teaching. Yeah, some master this is. So they are not following the Sutra Unraveling Thought. So Lama Tsongkhapa, dispelling that contradiction, dispelling that misunderstanding, confusion. Lama Tsongkhapa is conventionally existent and conventional truth is a different, and ultimately existent and ultimate truth are different. When you talk about the true truth, and then you have emptiness and other than the emptiness, right? So this is conventional truth and ultimate truth. Now, and Maitreya Buddha's text, sometimes it's mentioned conventional existent or not. So that only conventional existent, Maitreya Buddha, no, and the Sutra Unraveling Thought, conventional existence, ultimate existence. The first statement is, meaning of that is imputational natures and other power natures, right? Imputational natures is conventional existence. And other power natures and ultimate natures and ultimately existence, right? And when you see this, the passage from the Maitreya Buddha, so even the term and thought, even the functional things, even the other power natures, is it conventional existent or ultimate existent? This is conventionally. So that referring to conventional truth, right? Because, yeah, we have to dispel the contradiction between Sutra Unraveling Thought, the first, explaining the description of three nature. Right, and then you see only the imputation nature is not truly existence. Other than that, other power nature, thoroughly established nature, truly existence. That means ultimately existence, right? And then when you see the Maitreya Buddha's text, it says term and thought are conventional existence or ultimate existence. So they go for term and thought is conventional existence. And that really contradicts with the statement from the Sutra Unraveling Thought. So Lama Tsongkhapa said, this is first talking about imputational natures and things that truly exist or not truly exist. First statement, Sutra Unraveling Thoughts, describing on three natures, right? And here are talking about true truth. So the other power natures are not the ultimate truth. Therefore, it's not ultimately existent, right? Yeah.
Another word to debate. That's a good debate question.
So in the debate field, we says. Yeah. In mind-only system, we have to say that ultimately existent and conventional existence. Kunzob to demba, tuen tambra demba, tuen tambra chuba, tuen tambra chuba, and kunzob to chubas. And also, zumbra chuba means is something mistakenly exist or concealer or something. So concealer or exists being true to the obscured mind. Right. Being true to obscured mind. So in this mind only system, obscured mind is the thought. right? Thought consciousness. So imputational natures, imaginations are being true to the thought in term, in the face of thought in term, right? In the reality and the cause and effect. So imaginations and being basis of the names are not really ultimately existence, not produced with cause and conditions. Right? And what is the produced by cause and condition is ultimately existence, not exists in the face of obscured mind. So table is not exists in the face of obscured mind. It exists in the face of not mistaken consciousness. No, it's direct perception. It exists in the face of direct perception. So the table is ultimately existence, but it's not ultimate truth. So if someone debate, like someone asks you, is table ultimately existent or conventional existence? You say table is ultimately existence because it's produced by cause and conditions. It's not only being true to the obscured mind. And they would begin, I mean, bring the quotation or from the Maitreya Buddhas. So if you say this is not ultimately existence, if you say this is not a conventional existence, this table is not a conventional existence, and how about Maitreya Buddha says, even the term and thought, is it conventional existence or ultimate existence? And says, it's conventionally. It's not contradictory with that and that text. And say, no, because in that case, they are talking about the term and thought is not ultimate truth. It's a conventional truth. Right. No, yeah. You say table in mind only system, table is ultimately existent or a conventional existent. Table is ultimately existence. And now here, and if there's someone asks you, would that contradict with Maitreya Buddha's text? Because Maitreya Buddha says table is conventional existence, right? And so now you have to dispel that contradictions. You say in reality or the mind-only system, table is ultimately existence. And what the Maitreya Buddha text says is not it's not ultimately existence. This is conventional existence. That means this is conventional truth, not the ultimate truth, because it is not thoroughly established natures. Right.
Where did
Maitreya say
that the table is
confusing? Maitreya Buddha says on a spoon. Here, it is said the conceptual consciousness, right, the other power natures, conceptual consciousness exists conventionally, that they exist ultimately. It is to be said that they exist conventionally. Thought consciousness. I have number 10. Also, the statement asanga is a compendium of ascertainment. It is to be said that reason, that is mainly the other power natures that are the basis of imputation of imputational nature, exist conventionally, or that they exist ultimately. They are to be said to exist conventionally, and it is to be said that conceptual consciousness, that is contaminated mind and mental factors exist conventionally, or they exist ultimately, it is to be said that they exist conventionally. Asangaya. So, yeah, conceptual consciousness is not ultimately existence. That is not ultimate truth. And things that is created by the conceptual consciousness, which is imputational natures, also not exist. Ultimately, that also means that imputational nature is not ultimate truth. Imputer, the term in thought, is also not ultimate truth. So there's not really saying that imputer, the thought consciousness, is not ultimate existence. It's saying it's not ultimate truth. Clear?
Yeah.
Oh.
Conventionally existing, ultimately existing, conventions and ultimate.
Yeah. Table is ultimately existence, not the ultimate truth.
That's conventional
truth. Right? Yeah, this is a conventional truth.
Yeah.
But it's not conventional existence. Conventional existence means things that only being true to the obscured mind, that is referring to thought consciousness, right? Imputed by thought consciousness. Table is not conventional existence because it's not imputed by the thought consciousness. It's produced by cause and condition.
Ultimately
existence.
Ultimately existence.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're saying that they exist ultimately. However, that means it's not ultimate. It's ultimate truth.
Yeah.
It's conventional truth.
Conventional truth.
Even though they use the word exist.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah. So the only the Lama Tsongkhapa is not following the words. We're trying to go ahead. So if you follow the words, then there's a lot of confusion. So in locally we say, oh, I'm the permanent residence. Oh, I stay there permanently. But no one is permanent, right? Someone who's staying is not permanent, it's impermanent. But we express like that. We are saying that if you understand that, if you are very kind of excited over the debating, then you say, oh, how can you stay permanent there? Because you are not permanent, because you are impermanent. So when you go into what he's saying, what you're trying to refer, that means most of the time, or he's been staying for long, long there, what he meant. So then we accept that. Oh, yes, I heard that. I know that. Right? You don't just go on. Jump into debating with that person. So Tanya Ju Wangi Shavayobala says here, the first to posit an existence that is posited through the force of convention, in existing and conventionally, right? By the force of conceptual consciousness, by the force of term, things, something that is exists, that is conventionally exist. Things that are not exist by the force of term in thought, that exist by cause and condition, right? So that is ultimately existing. So this is very similar to the sutra. It says the statement in sutra that such and such is by the force of worldly convention and is not so ultimately. So this is the same meaning. So we always see many confusions. Sometimes many have a feeling that when the Nyingma tradition, when they talk about the emptiness, we believe, we have a feeling that this emptiness is totally different from the Gelug, that emptiness. If there's a Gelug emptiness and a Nyingma emptiness, a Kagyu emptiness, and it's hard to find the realization. So emptiness means, there's a sutra, it says, even the Tathagata happen to exist or not, right? Tathagata can come to earth and how they disappear in earth. It's not, sometimes it's not exist in earth. But emptiness is always there. It's not changeable. Emptiness is the truth that always exists, never change. Right? So there's no Nyingma emptiness, there's no Kagyu emptiness, there's no Gelug emptiness. Right? The emptiness is always the same. Every person who seek for the liberation has to understand emptiness. Now the approach, the way of approach towards that emptiness, there is always a different way of getting into the emptiness, to understanding emptiness. This mode of presenting the ultimately existing and conventional existence is the basis of debate about ultimate and conventional existence and non-existent between the proponents of middle and proponents of true existence, who are among our own and other schools. So when my only system happened to debate or the arguing with non-nature, like Prasangika schools, they are really talking about conventional existence or ultimately existence. They are not talking about this is ultimate truth, this is a conventional truth, right? They are talking about this is ultimately existence. My only system says table is ultimately existent. Middle school says this is not ultimately existent. This is conventional existence. They are not talking about the table is ultimate truth, and there some said the other conventional truth, right? So proponents of existence who are among our own and other schools, my only system and Suttantic school. In terms of this mode of, presenting the meaning of ultimate and the conventional, according to the mind only school, the first natures explained earlier, that is, exist imputational natures, exist conventionally, right, but does not exist ultimately. And the other two natures, other power natures and thoroughly established natures, exist ultimately but do not exist conventionally. Therefore, they are, as was explained earlier in the Asanga's Compendium of Bodhisattva and Compendium of Ascertainments, where imputational natures are described as not exist ultimately, and other power natures and truly established natures are described as exist ultimately, existing ultimately. So in this way, we can see that within the three natures, the first natures, imputational natures, is conventional exist, and the conventional truth both. And other power natures is ultimately existing, but not the ultimate truth, is a conventional truth. And the third nature, other power nature, thoroughly established nature, is ultimately existence and ultimate truth both. Right. So so when you see the debate between the mind only system and middle school, they are really debating on things that are conventionally existent or ultimately existent. They are not debating about say ultimate truth or conventional truth. Right. So there, and Mingme Zewe Kanjin Shingde Suje, right? Pioneer of Snowland. So we praise Lama Tsongkhapa. And my teacher says it's mainly because of Lama Tsongkhapa is the only one who can dispel all the confusion and sort of unraveling thought in Tibet. Therefore, the pioneer in the Snowland. Middle school, there's many the commentaries, right? And before Adisha, so most of the Tibetan, the few Tibetan, the practitioners, they are there are some practitioner who understand completely middle school, the Prasangic school. Most of the practitioner is there's not much Prasangic point of view is not popular in that time, during that time. After the translator, Patsab Losawa, Patsab translator, and first when he translated the Midway Omajuba, Midway approach or something, right? There's a Chandrakirti's text. He translated in Tibetan and distributed the published. And many of great masters, they criticized on and what he was trying to explain or describing on Prasangic point of view. And many, many great masters that they described, and he is nihilating the phenomena. He's going, falling into nihilism. And Geshe Sharawa, the Kadamba Geshe Sharawa, and on, he's the only one who understands the Chandrakirti's text, and he said, to bring that, the text to me, I will maybe, understand, I'll try to see if this is mistaken or not. And when he read that in the classroom, he read, the Patsab Losawa's translator was here, and he read, and then he said, he has a, on the table there is a, the flower, right, and candies and things like, and he just grabbed the candies. He says, first, he offered to the Chandrakirti, second to the Patsab translator. This is a great job, because this is the real Buddha Shakyamuni's thought, right? And then many great masters, they just calm down, because, yeah. So Geshe Sharawa, the Patsab Losawa praises to the Geshe Sharawa in his biography, because Geshe Sharawa, even he, hadn't studied the Sanskrit, and when he translated Sanskrit in Tibetan, and Geshe Sharawa would kind of tell him, he can tell him that words should become like this and this and this, this, and when he see the Sanskrit, the same what he said, and he was very surprised, even he did not study the Sanskrit, because he can understand how the Sanskrit, ordered into, the order of the words, or how do the wording, he know the system of wording in Sanskrit. Yeah. This is, Geshe Sharawa. Even the Lama Tsongkhapa, his prayer to the Kadamba Geshe's, when he come to the present and come to the Sharawa, and he says, intelligent Sharawa, So he's the only one. Most of the great ones, he did not say this, intelligent. Yeah. His own, when he comes to Sharava, he said, intelligent Sharava. Okay, those, and Asanga, the companion with ascertainment, says, those which are object of observation of consciousness based on name, through the force of being thoroughly conditioned to verbalizations, things having the name of the form, having the name of the form, and so forth, that exist by way of essence of forms and so forth. Both do not substantially exist and do not ultimately exist. So, Ndua is Asanga's compendium. Sometimes this is Changda Chashu in Tibetan, and the masters, when they trying to explain those words, it's very hard to break down. Changda Chakshu, the iron bow and iron, what do you call it, arrow. Like, it's hard to pick up and hard to... Poor part. So, those which are object observation of the consciousness based on name. Ngobar jobala yonzo kumbe, mila nebe, nabarishibe, mikba. Object of observation of the consciousness, that consciousness referring to the thought consciousness, and based on name, that name is not really referring to the exactly the name, it is habit of labeling. So object become now imputational natures because of the consciousness, thought consciousness, that based on labeling expression. So thought consciousness that arises from the imprints of the expressions, and very object, very direct object, as appearance of the consciousness, is the imputational natures. So that through the force of being thoroughly conditioned to verbalizations. So things here referring to imputational nature, having the name of the form, like this is form, and this is the production of form, this is the impermanence of the form. So thought consciousness labeling on that form with characteristic, so becoming the basis of the name of form, becoming basis of the name of production of the form, becoming basis of the name of impermanence of the form. So these are the direct observations, the direct object of the observation of the thought consciousness. So these are not substantially exist, do not exist ultimately. So, hence, it should be known that whereas those phenomena having the name of form, name of forms, and so forth do not exist, entity of those, that is form and so forth, those imputations by that conceptuality exists imputedly. So now, how does that phenomena, how does that object that is created be merely observation observed by the thought consciousness and term, which is thought consciousness, the term that is arises from the imprints of the expressions, and that object is, says, is merely imputed by the thought consciousness, is imputedly existence. So that is not truly existence. Now, and then, now here, it should be known that object observation of non-conceptual consciousness that have the name of being devoid of through the conditioning to verbalizations. So devoid of through the conditioning verbalizations, something that is now here, that should be known, object of observation of non-conceptual consciousness, and the object of non-conceptual consciousness means object of direct perception, have the name of being devoid of true conditioning verbalizations. It's not really produced or created by verbalization or the thought consciousness or the term. Those objects being things having the name of the form and so forth. These are the basis of the naming and characteristic. For that exists by way of an inexpressible essence, both substantially exist and ultimately exist. Right. Now, the first sentence here, context is mentioning the imputation, how imputation happened to exist. So it's happened to exist by the force of thought consciousness. And the thought consciousness itself arises from the imprints of the expressions, right? And second sentence, the context is giving the reason why that the object, mere object of the thought consciousness, is not ultimately existence, right? Those because imputation by the conceptuality, because of that, is imputed by the thought consciousness, merely imputed by term and thought, because of that, is not ultimately existence. And what is ultimately existence? So those thought consciousness giving a name on the basis, very basis, that is not created by term and thought, so that is ultimate existence, substantially existent. So when you read the words, they're like the first, which are the object observation of consciousness based on name. So based on name means it's not really referring to the term. Is imprints that left by naming and term, right? So that that imputation of nature exists by through the force of being thoroughly conditioned to verbalization. So that things having the name of form and so forth that exist by way of essence of form and so forth, both do not substantially exist, do not ultimately exist. Hence, it should be known that whereas those phenomena having the name of form and so forth, being basis of the name and being basis of characteristic of that thing, do not exist entity of those form and so forth. Those imputation by the conceptuality exists imputely. The basis of labeling, basis of naming, basis of imputational natures exists by substantially and inexpressibly. Right. So inexpressible, as there's, I remember that I mentioned, so one that description of inexpressible in the first Dalai Lama, he is setting the example like things that has not named on it, right? That is inexpressible. So why inexpressible? Because that is the basis of labeling, basis of name, and as you named on that new productions, and you after you named, it appears as it kind of as if independent and something that is in front of you by stand by itself. So inexpressible means that productions cannot express as it appears to the thought. Inexpressible, right? And sometimes inexpressible, the master, they say, inexpressible means like a magician's, something that is created by a magician, right? Like the elephant or horse, that is something is created by the substance and the mantra, right? And then happened to exist, happened appears to the mind. So that inexpressible means that is not external, it's not the consciousness that's appearing it. So not, it cannot express its exist substantially, it exists external. It's not, cannot be expressed as a consciousness. So between there, so inexpressible. So Kanduyan Jyotirmaya was saying like a dream elephant. Dream elephant cannot express, it exists. And external, it cannot be expressed as the dream consciousness, right? Not external, not the consciousness, inexpressible. So inexpressible means it's a description on an inexpressible. There's many ways to interpret that meaning, inexpressible. So in general, when you say the table is inexpressible, it cannot express as it appears to our mind, right? It appears to our mind sometime being based on the name as independent existence, sometime as we think this is a projection, this is something oneness of the thought consciousness. It's not the oneness of thought consciousness, it not exists in an external level. Right. And the first Dalai Lama is trying to make it more clear or and more easier to the grasp the meaning of that inexpressible. So no name baby is inexpressible, the basis of inexpressible. So you cannot express as it appeared after you named that baby. Oh, 9 o'clock.
Can we have class over the Skype?
Yeah.
So, Okay. Also, you have to be earlier on your time. So.
Tuesday or Thursday?
Geshe-la has class Tuesday.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, you have to be Wednesday.
What's left?
Monday is not a good day. Friday is also not a good day. Tuesday is not a good day.
Friday I have again a class.
Wednesday.
Wednesday. Yeah.
Monday.
Tuesday class.
We need to be a little bit early so then you are not too late over there.
Yeah.
5:30?
That's very good. Yeah, 5:30.
Will be 8:30.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
5:30. I'm still working.
Best. 5:30 our time. So Eastern time.
8:30, yeah. That's good.
Hey, but if we have a hiccup to Skype, maybe
we can go Saturday too.
Yeah, Saturdays, yeah. Yeah.
We can do it during the afternoon.
That's fun.
Yeah, Saturday, yeah. That's really good. Yeah. So, well, you have time for Saturday? Do you have time?
Of course I have time. What about my Gigu is going to say? Yeah, you can.
Thursday was better for me.
The reason Tuesday and Thursday is because she's going to Monsat for night school. So I can say, oh yeah, you go to night school, now come here. But Saturday is like, only one day should be okay.
So what's better for you this
one? So here Saturday, 3 o'clock. You do that?
Then your time is?
6 o'clock. Yeah. It's a good time.
So it's not as common as ours.
What?
No, he's still here.
Oh,
yeah, this Sunday here.
So we're saying that people want to come to tea and tea party and say goodbye at 7.
Next Saturday.